In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. If I hadn't known better, I would have thought that the prophet Joel was resurrected today, speaking to us his words. Thank you, Tony, for a spirited reading. We have to reach back to 1945, 73 years ago, to discover another day when Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day combined. And although I haven't been able to find out when the next time it will be, I know this for sure. I won't be here. I did wonder about taking some ashes and wrapping them up in a lovely red bag and presenting them to Wendy for Valentine's Day, but I thought that wouldn't work. And I did wonder whether perhaps at noon I would try to put ashes in the shape of a heart on people's foreheads, but I resisted that. But it seems to me there is a perfect confluence of themes, a congruence of ideas as these two days combine. For both stress the importance of the heart, of finding authentic and eloquent ways to express our love and devotion, not just to one other person, but to the one who is our Lord and our Saviour and our friend. And so I offer you a text that speaks literally to the heart of the matter. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. You will probably know that the rending of clothes, the intentional tearing, ripping of garments, was a traditional and external practice in Jewish religion. It is called kriya. It expresses grief or contrition or anger or a combination of all. It is an ancient tradition. When the patriarch Jacob believed his son Joseph was dead, he tore his garments. Likewise, in 2 Samuel, we're told that King David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and rent them when they heard that Saul and Jonathan had died. Job, too, in grieving for his children, tore his raiments. And then, of course, Caiaphas, the high priest, so angry that Jesus was committing blasphemy, tore his robes. At moments of profound and psychic emotion, the practice of kriya is a cathartic and expressive act. And yet for the Jewish people, Joel says, this act has become lifeless, insignificant, hypocritical. A great divide, an enormous chasm has opened up between the act and the intent, between the practice and the person, between the symbol and the reality. And so the prophet Joel shouts out in warning, as happens still today in London's underground, mind the gap, mind the gap. Lent, and maybe even Valentine's Day, calls, charges, challenges us to do our best, aided by the Spirit of God, to be authentic and real in our expressions of devotion to those whom we claim to love, both God and our beloved. The gap between religious practice and spiritual reality is experienced by each of us this side of eternity. And the season of Lent calls us to a season of holy discontent with such a gap. Away with pretense, shame, sham, and distraction. Now, here I was going to conclude this brief homily. But how can I not make reference to the horrific, homicidal, detestable act at Stoneman Douglas High School today? when we believe possibly 16 or even more have had their lives tragically snatched from them. I hesitate to know what to say, except that I hope that we and our political leaders will not just rend garments of contrition and grief and anger, but their very hearts will be torn and rended asunder to move them to a discontent with inaction due to political savviness. And that their hearts and our hearts will be so rent asunder by yet another awful act that things will be done. Rend your hearts, not your garments. And I conclude with the Message translation of that passage. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love, is always ready to cancel catastrophe. Who knows? Maybe he'll do it now. Amen.